going to start with two announcements this morning, highlighting opportunities for us to be the church, for us to connect with our mission of helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. And for that first announcement, I'm going to hand things off to Gabrielle Cook-McElvenna, who serves as our music director, who's going to be highlighting an opportunity for our Caroline Choir.
Good morning, church, and thank you for venturing out in the freezing cold and yucky weather. It is my privilege and honor to give a warm thank you to this church for being supportive of a handbell program, which is the biggest, to my understanding, in our area. And because of your support, we have the honor and privilege of being invited to Bronze Fest again this year, which is an invitational opportunity for our handbell to go and work with Fred Graham, who is a composer world-renowned, and have an opportunity to ring in a combined handbell choir concert. So that will be taking very soon. When we return, we will be giving you an update and a little, hopefully, video or photo opportunity for you to look at to see what that entails. But I do want to remind you that all of our equipment and the handbell program and the room that was renovated for the handbell program could not have happened without your generous donations, the gift of folks who are still here and who have passed. So today, as you leave, I encourage you to look at the handles of the bells in front of you, because each and every one of them have a label of who purchased those bells and who they are in honor and memory of. So we thank you for doing that in support of our music program.
Thank you, Gabrielle, for highlighting that opportunity for our Caroline Choir and indeed the congregation support of our music ministries. I too want to highlight an announcement, and I'll do so by directing you to the back of our bulletin this morning. I want to begin with a word of gratitude as we address our healing process that we have undertaken here at the church, beginning with a word of thanks for everyone who has participated in the process so far. As we've looked to address our hurts and find a way forward, there have been many who have participated by filling out the questionnaire that was sent earlier in January. Many who were asked to conduct phone interviews and share their perspective with the Lombard Mennonite Peace Center. Many were done. Our leaders participating in workshops led by our facilitator, Reverend Ruth Farrell, and those who have otherwise supported the process, whether encouraging others to participate, prayerfully supporting this effort of our church. I want to begin by saying thank you for engaging in this process as a congregation. As I do so, I want to invite everyone in the congregation to participate in the process in the coming 2 weeks. Saturday, March 1st, that's Saturday, March 1st, from 1 to 5 o'clock, we are going to have what is called a structured dialogue of healing. And this is a group gathering in a large setting, and the goal is for us to share a dialogue which will be facilitated by Reverend Farrell as a step in moving forward. This is open to everyone in the congregation, and so I encourage you to participate. Perhaps you wish to participate because of a hurt you encountered here at the church. Or you might want to participate as a way of supporting others who are going to be a part of the process that day. Either way, all are invited. Hillary, and along with a number of our staff and volunteers, are making sure that there is childcare available for infants through elementary school with a place to land if you're in middle school or high school, if you just want to hang out and maybe do some homework. That's always fun on a Saturday afternoon, I understand. Easy for me to say, I know, right? But we will have space for our children and youth, so if families wish to participate, and certainly our youth are invited to participate in the structured dialogue as well. Following that dialogue at 5 o'clock, there will be an optional dinner for all who wish to stick around for fellowship and a meal afterwards. You can sign up for this dialogue by pointing your camera on your phone at that funny-looking graphic, and a website will pop up. Just click on that website, Or it always works to pick up the phone, call the church office. We'll be happy to reserve your spot in the dialogue. Secondly, the following day on March 2nd, we will share in a healing service during our 10 o'clock worship service here on Sunday mornings. Reverend Ruth Farrell, who is a ordained elder in the United Church of Christ, will preach at this service. And as we gather together in worship as a way of letting go of the past and moving forward, we'll seek that time together as a congregation and seek that work of the Holy Spirit. So I want to highlight those opportunities to highlight to participate in our church's healing process as we move forward. With all that, I do direct your attention to our e-blast that is sent out each week. You'll find much more events and details of those events and ways to be involved here at the church. But for now, I'm going to invite us to stand and to greet one another. I'll call us back with a bell and invite you to remain standing for our call to worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. It's printed in your bulletin or on the screen. Christ has risen from the dead. Let us rejoice that he is the first fruits of those who have died.
We are called to live as Easter people all year long.
As Easter people, let us proclaim the risen Christ every day, in every place we are, through the way we live our lives.
As Easter people, the Holy Spirit lives in us, meaning we have the light of Christ. We will proclaim him, the light of the world, in whose resurrection we confidently share on the day of his coming.
Now we'll have our opening hymn, The Day of Resurrection, which is found on page 303 in your hymnal, or the words are on the screen.
The children come forward. Come quick. We got to go to a wedding.
What?
Come quick.
What?
Oh.
When am I getting married?
No, it's not your wedding. I don't even know whose wedding it is. Good morning, everybody. Today in Sunday school, we are going to learn about the first miracle of Jesus. And that happened at a wedding. I think there might have been another kind of miracle, because Jesus learned once again, always listen to your mother. Excuse me, Jesus always shows us how to love and care for each other. And in this story, Jesus once again turned the world upside down. Now, we're going to pray, and after every line, I'm going to pause, and I would like you to say with me, we celebrate you, Jesus. And that's for every one of God's children. Dear Jesus, for your loving care, we celebrate you, Jesus. For your miracles, we celebrate you, Jesus. For the gifts you give us each day, we celebrate you, Jesus. We celebrate you, Jesus. We celebrate you, Jesus. Amen.
What a beautiful way to worship God. Thank you. And now we come to a time of offering. If the ushers would please come forward. And as the ushers are coming forward, if you would please sign the red friendship pads, pass them down the pew and pass them back, we would appreciate it. We love getting to know our neighbors and knowing who's here.
My life flows on in endless song, above earth's lamentation. I hear the clear, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear the music ringing. It finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? What though the tempest loudly roars, I know my Savior liveth. Although the darkness binds me close, deep in the night sweet songs he giveth. His inmost peace makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever springing, since love is Lord of heaven and earth. How can I keep from singing? Can I keep from singing, singing, singing?
God, we thank you for every good gift that you give us. You are the giver of every good gift. Lord, we pray that you would use these gifts to further your kingdom and for your glory. Thank you so much for who you are and that you will. We love you, God, and we thank you so much that all we have to give is all that we have already been given. We love you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead?
If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We've all encountered it. Whether on behalf of others or ourselves, whether some time ago or as recent as this past week, whether for a season in life or in a life-altering way. I'm referring to those moments when what we encounter in life can be described as everything from bad to difficult or even life-changing. While some of this can be noted and let go of fairly easy, as easy as it is to let a passing cloud go by, other such encounters can linger, and just as easily we're left revisiting what took place over and over again. And whether we're comfortable acknowledging this out loud, there are those moments when what we encounter leaves us with little to no hope. I've walked alongside others at such times in their lives, and I've known such times in my own life and that of my family. And with this, it's been my experience that often we might try to rationalize our way to hope. For example, we might say such things as, well, others have it much worse than me. Or we might even think, things could be worse. I don't know about you, but I've never found this line of thinking to be of much help. I find little solace in it and even less hope. After all, if what I'm facing is difficult enough, what good does it do for me to wish it or even worse upon somebody else? And at the end of the day, how does the suffering of others, knowing that others have it worse, really produce hope in my life? No less the kind of hope I'm looking for. The hope I can hold on to and build upon. Even more so, if in fact things could be worse, right away I'm wondering, well, what's stopping them from being worse? Or who can say for certain that the levee will hold? And that in fact things won't get worse. No, for the Apostle Paul, for the author of 1 Corinthians, whose letter we read from today, hope requires more. True hope requires much more. Writing essentially to a church of new believers, a church in need of hope, Paul is forthright in naming what hope looks like and what hope requires. Indeed, Paul argues that without this one thing, without this linchpin, without this facet of our faith, Paul argues that hope is lost. Because without this one thing, according to Paul, all that they preach, and by virtue everything that I preach, is useless. Now, careful now, that's not Paul's invitation to tell me or for you to tell me that preaching is useless. But Paul is saying, without this one thing, all preaching is useless. And along these lines, without this one thing, everything they said as apostles would be a lie. Taking even further, without this one thing, their faith and our faith is useless. In fact, truth be told, for this Sunday sermon, I thought that I might entitle it, What Makes Faith Useless? But I had to step back from that title. It felt a little bit too edgy. But Paul is saying, without this one thing, faith is useless. To be sure, this one linchpin, this one facet of faith is so critical that there is more that rests upon it. For without this one thing, we remain guilty of our sins. Be useless to say at our communion table that you are forgiven or that I am forgiven without this one thing, for it would not be true. And in fact, without this one thing, all who have died putting their faith in Christ for their salvation are lost. Bottom line, Paul argues that if the hope we cling to in Christ is only for this life, if nothing else, at least we have hope in this life. Paul argues, then we deserve to be pitied more than anyone else. Yes, all this rests, all this being what we proclaim, our faith, our forgiveness of sins, the resurrection and life everlasting, indeed the very hope that we have in Christ, all this rests on this one thing. At the beginning of the sermon, I invited us to acknowledge that each of us, at one time or another, to one degree or another, has come across a difficult time in our life. We might call it a time of trial or a season of turmoil, or perhaps something outright traumatic. According to Paul, hope in these instances is anchored in this singular facet of our faith, and in this alone, We find this one thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first part of verse 20, where Paul writes, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead." Did you hear what that one thing is? It's that Christ has been raised from the dead. It is because of this one thing because of God having raised Christ from the dead, it is because of this that we aren't to be pitied, because our hope is secure, because our hope lies in something God has already done. Indeed, because of Christ's resurrection, we can anticipate our own resurrection. We can anticipate life everlasting. We can be assured of the forgiveness of our sins. Because Christ has been raised from the dead, we can be convinced of the fortitude of our faith and of the truthfulness of all that was preached by those with apostolic faith. All because of what Christ has already done. Without question, like many of you, I know this hope to be true. For when I look back at my greatest times of need, whether decades ago or as recent as the past few months, my foothold in faith is having the assurance that everything works out in the end. My foothold in faith that I have in life is the belief and is the knowledge that everything works out in the end. Or as Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. That all things work together for good. This is the God who knows us. This is the God who sees our struggles and hears our cries. This is the God who never lets go. How can we be so sure of this? Or better yet, you might ask me, how might I be so sure of this? I'm sure of who God is and how God loves us, because in Jesus' death and God raising him from the dead, God took our very worst. Humanity's complete and utter rejection of God's Son, having hung Jesus on a cross. And so perhaps this morning, as you are listening to our joyful bells, that anthem, that hymn has you thinking of how deep God's love is for us. How deep the Father's love, yes? And while it is part of the Lenten journey, and really the Easter story, we shouldn't grow complacent as to what we have done with that deep love from God. That we rejected it. That we spat upon it. Ridiculed it. Abused it. And hung Jesus on the cross. And what did God do with this? What did God do with our rejection of our Heavenly Father's love? Well, God used that to reveal God's very best to us. Having raised Jesus from the dead, in revealing to us the life to come. And so God took our worst to reveal God's very best. And with this and with life everlasting, God assures us that it all works out. Indeed, it will all work out when everything is recreated and made new again. And even now, between where we are now and where we will be, God still is giving us glimpses of what we will know fully when we see God face to face. There are these moments, yes, even in this life, where we can catch a glimpse of what God is doing and of what God will do. Does all this eliminate those times when it seems that all hope is lost? Does it mean we won't have tough days? Does it mean we won't struggle? Does it mean that we won't encounter hopelessness in this life? Does it rid all life of trials and turmoil, losses or trauma? Does it make me a boundless optimist? No, for me it does not. But I have found, and I am finding, that this gives hope a foothold in my life and in my faith. Whatever might come. And so how about you? What do those three most pivotal words at the start of verse 20 mean to you? But in fact, meaning, it is certain. It is true. God has already secured what needed being done. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. What do those three simple words mean in your life? That but in fact, how does this reframe or reshape the trials you face or the turmoil of today? How does this show up when all else is hopeless? I had the blessing, am having the blessing of walking alongside a United Methodist elder, and and visionary within a visionary leader within the United Methodist Church last few months. Her name is Rebecca Simon Peter. And one of the challenging words that she has for the church today is whether or not we are willing to believe like Jesus. You know, it's one thing to believe in Jesus. Yes? It's one thing to believe that the person of Jesus walked this earth. It's a whole other thing to believe like Jesus. It's a whole other thing to believe that even with the life's most difficult moments ahead, that his faith could be placed into the hands of a loving God and say, not my will, but thy will. And so what would that look like for you today? To believe like Jesus. Whatever has taken place, wherever you find yourself today, whatever might come tomorrow, what would it look like to believe like Jesus? To lean into that trust, knowing that everything is in God's hands, and that God uses all things for the good of those who love him. May our hope rest in knowing that, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. So let us live as a resurrection people, as we've sung about today, speaking words of hope in times of trial, bringing mercy and kindness where there is turmoil, and moving forward in faith when all else seems lost. Confident that God is still saying today, but in fact, amen? Amen. As we gather together in a spirit of prayer, invite you to celebrate with the Giffords, Pam and Gary Gifford. You'll note in the bulletin they are celebrating, or they have celebrated, their 50th wedding anniversary yesterday on February 15th. And so we try to celebrate anniversaries 50 and beyond on those five-year marks, and so we wish happy anniversary to Pam and Gary Gifford, and encourage you, if you know them, to offer your congratulations. You might also note in our bulletin that we are extending our sympathies and prayers to the family and friends of Denny Caney, who passed away last Sunday, as we shared in our worship service, whose service was here at the church yesterday. As you might know, for the past 4.5 years, Denny served on staff here as our video tech, long before that as an unpaid staff member, really putting into place, helping put in place our video ministries. And so encourage us to lift up Melody, their daughters, Teresa, Barb, and Margaret, and their families in our prayers. Let us pray. Loving God, even as people of faith, even as followers of Jesus Christ, we we acknowledge that we still encounter life's trials. And nothing of our faith isolates us from turmoil. That indeed, even your own son knew what it is to carry the weight of loss. And we acknowledge, O Lord, together here in worship, that while we seek to be a people of faith and enduring hope, there are times in our lives when all seems hopeless. Whether we're looking at the affairs of the world or the events in our own lives, we know such times. However, Lord, in Paul's letter to this early church, you spoke those words of assurance that, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And in those promising words, O Lord, we are reminded that our hope is secure in what you have done. That indeed you could take our very worst, and in that very same breath, reveal your very best. Lord, for those who the Spirit is moving and reminding us of how you have spoken those words of hope in times of trials in the past, we give you thanks and we praise you as our God. And we rejoice knowing that our hope is secure. And even still, we are mindful that there are some among us for whom our life events right now seem all too weighty for this hope that you speak. Under the weight of these trials, or in the darkness of this turmoil, Lord, speak to us those words once again, that but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Help us to proclaim that hope in our lives, in our church, for our community, for all the world to see. We pray all this, celebrating with the Giffords their wedding anniversary and your grace in their lives, holding the Caneys in our prayers as they mourn and still celebrate Denny's life, his love in their life, his ministry among us, his work in our community. Indeed, we can pray all this knowing that, but in fact, Christ is risen. And it's in his name that we pray, the prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I invite you to stand as we finish our service with In Christ Alone, a song that talks about our hope being in the resurrection of Christ.
Even rare. And I think about all these commodities that we try to dig up from the earth and place value on. We might think of gold that holds its value, or these elements that we need to produce computer chips. And what I find that at the end of the day, what I need most is hope. We ain't gonna dig it up from the ground. We're gonna find it in one another and with each other. And I think what we're gonna discover is that we have buckets loaded of it to share with people in our lives, to share with the community just outside the door, and to share with a world that still yearns for it. Because, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Amen?